Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week's dog out of here.
Measure with a dog. Measure with a dog. Dog's pretty big. Measure's pretty small. Measure with a dog. Measure with a dog. Measure with a dog. Dog's pretty big. Measure's pretty small.
Frustrating. 98.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. The Town Fair Tire Studio. We got Hardy in this morning with Joe Murray. And what a kick in the nuts, man. I think you knew from the very beginning of that one that there were two different teams on two different levels. And I think that if they would have gotten away with that win, we would have all thought that they stole it. But we will be talking a lot about the Bruins game all throughout the show. I know we got Ty Anderson, who I think I saw tweet around 4 this morning. So he's going to be on very little sleep. Very, very little sleep. The man hardly does it all anyway. And Billy Jaffe is going to be on with us around 9 o'clock as well. Joe Murray, unfortunately, something that did not pay off last night was my 150 dinghy bet towards the under on the first period, which has been paying off fairly well in the playoffs, has it not?
Yeah, it was 7-2 last night. It's now 7-3. I believe that's 70%. So got to let that ride, bad boy.
I thought I had really escaped one when they called back that one goal on offsides. I was like, all right, now we're still in business. And, of course, that's not the way it ended up panning out. Now, I was thinking about this yesterday. So, Hardy, I know that you obviously are someone who is a fan of the gambling. You are a Vegas aficionado. There's nobody who, when I have a question about Vegas, if I'm going out there, there's really nobody that knows more about that town because you not only live there, but you can continue to visit, and so you know all the new things. You have friends that are out there. How often do you go to Las Vegas a year, Hardy?
Well, number one, I reject your initial statement that we all agree that those were two different teams on the ice last night, but I guess we can get to that later. I don't know, once a year. I was supposed to go back in March, but I obviously didn't go this year. So, yeah, I'd say here's what I did with my Vegas schedule is it is thought of in my house as being once a year. At some point, I managed to lop off like 4 or 5 weeks.
Sure.
So over the course of like 12 years, I get an extra trip.
Okay, you know? I see. All right, I see. So, like, there's the one that you know, honey, this is the planned weekend. You know that I go out here once a year, but somehow you figure out a way to find an excuse, you know, to shave off a weekend here or two, right?
Yeah, it's like if I went in, you know, I probably started all this. You know, I went in, I don't know, like 15, 16 years ago, whenever, when we first moved from Vegas to Boston. I'm like, I went back in June, and then the next year I went in May, and then I went in March the next year. You know, and it's just, it's like, oh, I went last year in the springtime, you remember? And pretty soon, yeah, it's you know, you're on like an 11-month rotation as opposed to a yearly one.
Yeah, Hardy's the best because, you know, he, you know, when he goes out there, he does it right. He's, you know, got all of the different cards that you use. Like, if you've seen it, even if you've gone to the Encore, it's like these comp cards. And, you know, Hardy uses them the right way. And because he does that, like a couple years ago, I was going to Vegas and Hardy's like, where are you staying? I was like, I'm not sure. And he goes, well, you're staying at Caesars. And he gave me like a free night stay at Caesars Palace because he goes, I've accumulated all these free nights and I can't use them. So here, please use this before it expires. And I mean, that's a smart gambler right there. That's somebody who knows how to use those comp cards to their max. But for as much as you go out there, there's one thing. Do you sports gamble or is it just gamble?
Well, I'm 90% gamble. But okay. Yeah, I'll generally place you know, a handful of wagers there in the sports book while I'm there. It's just a different there's a different feeling going up to the window at the Caesars sports book and, you know, looking at the big board, taking the sheets that they have there in the little plastic holders and looking at the futures for, you know, the Masters or for the Super Bowl, and then walking back up there and forking over your cold hard cash. That feels like a real bet. Here I'm putting my money down. I'm not just going on an app or calling a bookie, which I do that now too. I do it with PropSwap now.
Yes.
So you know that I like that too. But when I am in Vegas, yes, I will generally place a couple.
What's
of
your game
bets.
Of choice?
When I'm gambling, yeah. Go ahead and laugh if you want to. First and foremost, I am a
don't say roulette.
No.
Oh, good.
It's video poker. It's crack. Oh. And it comes from living out there. I mean, that's no one goes to the bar and just like hangs out and like drinks and everyone bellies up to the bar and you put, you know, you start off as a non-degenerate by sliding a $20 bill into the video poker machine. But as long as you're gambling, your drinks are free. And that's at all the local bars 24/7, 365 days a year. And most of them are nice. Some of them are tragic. But most of them are like, you know, decent places where you can get good food and you hang out and there's nice people in there. But play video poker at the bar. So I still play it in the casinos. I play blackjack and I'm getting into three-card poker.
Okay, you're not the 7-Eleven gambler, are you? Like the one who goes to the gas station?
I hit for an $8,000 Royal flush at a Chevron that I used to pay for my wife's engagement ring almost 20 years ago.
I've heard that story. That's great because that's the thing, is it? You know, now, are those machines as regular? Because that's the one thing about video poker that's always skeezed me outside of a place like Vegas. You know, in Vegas, there's a law that, you know, the machines have to pay out, what is it, like 98% or whatever they take in. So, I mean, there's real regulations as to this isn't a machine and there's not someone behind it who can rip you off and just take your money and it hardly ever pays out.
Yeah.
Are those gas station machines regulated as well, just like the ones in the casino? Okay, yeah, well, then there you go.
They're all operated by, you know, like another gaming company. So that one, I hit for plenty of like 50 cent, $2,000 Royals at a, like a Shaw's supermarket. and, you know, you buy a lot of $80 gallons of milk, but, you know, I hit a few times, but that one time I hit for $8,000. It was literally at a gas station. Like it's 7:30 on a Tuesday night, and you know there isn't like we're going to send you a check. It's like no, oh congratulations, all right. So they call. They've got a guy who's like driving around. In fact, that place, they were attached to a place called Durango Lodge, and I think Durango Lodge actually owned the machine. I didn't have to wait very long. I waited like 15 minutes or so. And I'm just standing by the machine. Guy goes, okay, come on over here. We'll settle up. And he went over to the counter, and standing next to me are guys there with their like Mountain Dews and Funyuns. And right next to them, a little spot of the counter, he counted out. All right, congratulations. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
whoa,
6, 7, 8, 9, 10,
it was cash? It wasn't like a check?
They no, it's cash? Always cash. Take the cash.
Awesome.
So he counted out $8,000 in cash there on the counter at the gas station. And there's like all these people eyeballing me, and there's a huge dude like Joe Murray size working behind the counter. I'm like,
oh yeah.
And I peeled off $200. And I said, hey, you want to walk me out to my car? I want to show you something. And the guy's like, absolutely. He took the cash. He just walked out. I'm like, this is my car. And he said, yep, that's a nice car. And I got and I drove away.
Hardy was riding dirty from that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, so I'm just going to get rolled in that parking lot.
Funny
man.
Story. I usually stop at a convenience store before I come in the morning. Well, Keno. I didn't know this, There are at least two or three guys in this convenience store every morning when I go in there. Keno starts here in Boston at 5:04 in the morning. So, like, every 4 minutes is a Keno game. These guys are in there literally ready to go at 5:04 every morning. Like, I bet they're probably listening right now, but, like, every day I see the same three guys in there huddling around a screen at 5 o'clock in the morning. And, like, what are they telling their wives? Hey, you know, I got to go to the convenience store real quick.
There's no wives.
You play a Keno at 5:04 in the morning.
Well, I mean, Hardy can tell you this. I mean, if you're in Vegas, whatever with, like, you know, scratch-offs and what they do, you know, in lotteries, things like that. But if you're in Vegas, if you're playing Keno, you're a sucker. Because the ads or the odds on Keno are infinitesimally, infinitesimally, they're way, way less than if you play almost any other game that they have at a casino. Am I correct with that, Hardy?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you're going to try and make money, the games are blackjack and playing craps, just the pass line. You know, you don't do any of the silly bets. You know, you're not doing anything else. I mean, that feels like work. And blackjack, if you play perfect strategy, I don't know. It's, you know, it's negligible whether or not the house has an advantage or not. But it's a grind, man. It's such a grind. That's why I like video poker. It's like, yeah, I'll throw $100 in the machine and I might lose it in 4 minutes, but you might hit four of a kind for $800. I'm like, okay, now I'm up. You know, well, and then you just keep me, you know, bopping around, and yeah, I'll hit a table game for a while. But the video poker is like the mainstay for me, which is a lot of people tell you is a total sucker's bet. If you find those high return machines, though, and different ones are rated, you know, for, as you said at the top, Rich, like they're regulated differently. Some of them are set to pay out at like 99%. So, if, again, with perfect play over the course of an hour, you know, you are mathematically should be about breaking even. And that means, at, you know, so if you're going to dump, you know, a grand into that machine over the course of an hour, at some point you will have also won $1,000. Hopefully you win that $1,000, you know, all at once, and then you cash out. You got to walk away. That's the only way to win at any of those games. You got to walk away when you're up whatever set amount you have in your mind.
I could talk to Hardy about Vegas. I try going once a year. I used to live closer. Like when I lived in Dallas, I would go probably three times a year, maybe four times a year. Like, I mean, because that was that trip, that flight is nothing. And by the way, if you were on a plane on like a Thursday night from Dallas to Vegas, that was the Stripper Express. They all would fly from Dallas to go work out in Vegas, and it was like, I would say 20% of the plane were women going to work for the weekend.
Right.
And it was just like your head would spin when you got on the plane.
When I first moved out there, they put me in at like an extended stay America for the first couple of weeks. And that was just like a stripper hotel. That's all it was.
That's where they all came in from out of town.
Yeah,
right.
they came in from Dallas like on a Thursday to work like Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And they all stayed at these places that were, you know, they had little kitchenettes, and it was much cheaper than staying in a hotel. And, you know, there wasn't, you know, any, you know, pesky security guy at the elevator lobby checking to make sure you had a room key for whatever else might be going on in your room. So, yeah, that was my first couple of weeks there in town.
Oh, I could talk to Hardy about Vegas forever because I love that town. I do. There's people who hate it. They think it's too much. I know Joe Murray's a fan, but I'm still a sucker for it. All right, let's talk about this Bruins game. When we get back, Hardy and I seem to disagree, I think, on the effort, at least.
Not so much on the effort, but I, your assertion that there were two different teams and you knew going in this was the way it was
going
to go.
Not knew going in. I knew about 5 minutes into the game.
I reject that. I disagree.
Okay. All right. Then, hey, listen, it's what's different that makes us great. We will get to that right after this and talk about also what's going on with the Celtics, because there might not be a game tomorrow night. So we'll get into that as well.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Dutcher and Rich.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, and well, I guess we knew this wasn't going to be easy.
Right corner, Pallant. Andre Pallant holds, shoots, wide right, rebound maroon by the net. A wraparound try, loose in front. Pallant score! Pallant! Pallant! Andre Pallant! The Lightning win it 4-3, and this series is tied up 1-1.
Well, a lot of good effort by the Lightning. They had it in the whole time, it seemed to me, in the Boston zone. And finally, and Yanni Gord did not quit.
He gets an assist along with Maroon. Well, Lenny had an interesting line out there. Maroon, yeah. Gordon, Pallant. And it came to the other side, and Pallant was there to pop it in.
I apologize. I should have given you a Dave Mishkin volume warning on one.
Yeah. But Esposito's right, man. The Lightning had that puck in the zone, like leading up to that goal. It was, well, I tell you what it was, Rich, and it alludes to what I said earlier. It goes back and it reminded me of what the Bruins had done earlier in that game, where they had puck control, and you know, you kind of look up at the score in the upper left, and you're like, holy crap, are they on the power play right now? What is it? What is it with them keeping it in the zone? The Bruins had done that a couple of times earlier in the game, but on that scoring sequence in overtime, as Esposito just said, it's like, yeah, they had the puck in the zone the entire time, and Krug kept trying to clear it and he was, I mean, a bit snake bit. I think they were tired. Obviously, they were tired at that point, but that was one of the instances in that game last night where the Lightning just appeared to want it a tiny bit more, there was an ebb and flow to that game in terms of who wanted it more at certain times, and unfortunately, the way it fell, seemed like the Lightning wanted it a tiny bit more 5 minutes into overtime last
night. Came in full of pee and vinegar, and you could just tell that the Lightning, they were playing desperate hockey. They were playing the kind of hockey that, you know, is the stereotypical Bruins hockey. They're pushing guys around. They came in with attitude. And you're right. I mean, it was aggressive, but from the drop of the puck, you knew that the Lightning, they weren't going to be going down easy like Carolina. But during the game, going to overtime, Tampa just dominated the Bruins for a lot of it before eventually winning 4-3. Things started positively enough, though, for the Bruins the first when they got on the board, thanks to really one of the least likely players.
Sticks shattered. Away come the Bruins. Over the line, left side. Walking in, it's Bjork, shot it wide, rebound, tucked in, and going for it is Richie, can't find it, and they say they score! Back of the net, the referee pointing decisively, the Bruins look like they drive one home. Is it Mick Ritchie or Charlie Coyle who gets the first? Either way, the Bruins lead game 2-1-0.
Oh, that was Nick Ritchie, and he just kept hammering that thing until it finally just squeaked fast.
I thought it was saved. And if you watched it, it literally trickled in.
Oh, yeah, and you can see the ref was just pointing right in the net, like, it's in, and the replay, I mean, that's all it was just, you know, just continuing to follow up and keep jamming that puck. And for a guy who hasn't been very good since his acquisition, he finally showed up in game two. He had some really good moments,
And it was the jamming to that puck, Rich, sorry to interrupt, but the puck was already in. The purpose of, like, jamming at that point is to keep the goalie and to keep Vasilevskiy busy so that he's not able to actually find it. He didn't know where it was, but I think that puck was already well on its way in. When you see those guys, like, jamming and trying to get at it, I don't even know if they know where it is at that point, but all I know, if you're, like, down there and you're, like, you know, in the slot like that and you're in the, you know, right there in the crease and you're going after it, if I'm trying to, you know, poke this puck in, wherever it may be, the goalie's got to contend with me and finding the puck.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, that's a great way to get a dirty goal like that.
Yep. And you kind of were hoping Richie was kind of that guy. And it was, and then after that, moments later, the Lightning scored only to have the goal taken away via offsides review. Listen, I'm glad that the goal was negated and that it benefited the Bruins. But I mean, how many times do we have to sit here and bitch about offsides reviews on goals? I hate them, especially when they're showing it like, you know, the Zapruder film. Is there any white between the skate and the blue line? Well, if you look at it from this angle, it's really one of the worst things about hockey right now. It might be the worst thing about hockey right now are offsides calls on goals scored, especially, and yesterday wasn't gratuitous, but it's bad when like almost a minute goes by and then they want to go back and they want to check the offsides. But the goal didn't count. The Lightning's next one did, however, and it was an ugly one.
Near side, Coburn pumped it ahead and Goodrow leads Bogosian over the line right side. Bogosian to the middle. Out in front, Coleman shoots. They score! Blake Coleman able to dive and drive a puck through Yaroslav Halak to tie the game at one.
Ooh, Zach Bogosian just sliced up the D. Passes it to Blake Coleman, who scored having to dive and just slips one underneath Halak, who I absolutely should have had that one. I mean, it was, that was an ugly one. And that's when you were sitting there going, I wonder if this is going to be one of those nights. We're just...
Yeah, that one didn't bother me as much as the next one, which we'll get to. But after that goal was waved off, to me, that was the turning point of that game. That's when those guys really got the bee in their bonnet, and they started flying around, and they were pissed. They were all kinds of pissed. And look, today they'll look at it. They'll see it was offside. I don't know anybody who loved that rule in the NHL, and it worked out, you know, in favor of the Bruins last night. So, okay, they got the call right, but I don't think anybody going forward would have a problem with that not being a thing anymore. Like, look, did it really affect the play? It was kind of a slow change for the Lightning, and you should be, I guess, in a way penalized for it.
Yeah, who was the guy who was lazy going back to the bench?
I don't know. But look, penalized to the point where you get a goal waved off, it seems excessive. Anyway, yeah. When that got waved off, that pissed him off. And sure enough, you know, the equalizer came not long after that.
Well, Marchand was everywhere. That's one good thing that you could say. I mean, he was excellent last night.
Right corner. Back up top it comes Krug. Near circle, Pastrnak. Looks across. Fires, deflected. They score! Pastrnak with a snap pass to the far post. Directed in by Marchand. A power play goal. Bruins 2, Lightning 1.
Oh, so nice.
That was all Pasta. Pasta literally hit it off of Marchand's skate and all Marchand, his stick, and all he had to do was just swoop it in.
Yeah. Well, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Wasn't it that the one where Marchand had to close his skates up and he had to like backstop it with his skates?
I mean, I'm watching it right now. It was a snipe, literally off of the blade. I mean, it was a hell of a pass. Don't get me wrong. Marchand has to be there.
Yeah, that's the one.
Marchand has to be there.
Look.
I'm not discrediting Marchand by any means.
He made a great pass there, but Marchand has to close his skates up and kind of backstop it. And by the way, Marchand uses like a stick that's way too long for his height, right? And guys who play with him say, like, I don't know how he skates with that thing, right? So he's got to like close his skates up to like backstop it and somehow pull the blade of his stick, you know, way up, which is tough for him. He's just a short widow guy, right?
It was a hell of a play.
It was a hell of a play from both of them. It was a hell of a play from both of them. Don't take away the credit for what Marchand had to do, though, to stop that puck and get it in, because that thing was more like a shot than it was a pass.
I agree.
Well, the good news is that they didn't go too deep into overtime, because that would have sucked for Halak. And like, so there's a question right now. As a matter of fact, Bruce Cassidy addressed what's going to happen with tonight's goalie situation. I was reading Ty Anderson this morning, who we're going to have on around 7:20, and he raises a great point. I don't know why in the second round, like in the first round, I understand because you're trying to cram things in, but why at this point during the playoffs are you still having back-to-backs? And maybe it was the fear when they set all of this up that, you know, someone was going to get infected and it would blow up the bubble, so you want to get it done as quick as possible. That, if that's your explanation, then maybe I can take that. But honestly, at like when you're playing this high level of hockey and the games are this important, it almost seems like back-to-back games are inexcusable.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say that if Tuukka Rask was here. I'm sorry. If they had Halak and Rask, we wouldn't care about back-to-backs. I'm sorry.
But do you know how many teams aren't in a position where they had, like, I mean, the Bruins were in probably the best position goalie-wise to have a serviceable backup.
Yeah, and now they're in the worst position goalie-wise.
Well, Hurricanes. Hurricanes actually have a pretty good
position.
I mean, look what Anton Hudobin's doing with Dallas. Like, the more I look around the league, like, the Bruins had the best setup for this.
Vegas too.
Yeah, Vegas looks good too. All right, so we'll get to that, whether or not I have Cassidy and Halak talk about.
But just
about.
Real quick, to your point, last night, the best case scenario besides a win was losing 4 minutes into the overtime.
I think you did not want that thing to go long. Yeah, absolutely. So when it was over, it sucked that they lost, but I was like, well, thank God they lost quick into OT. All right, so we'll get to that right after Joe Murray's headlines.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Drive home with Felger and Mass this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Spinning out of there with it is Palat. Threw it toward the front of the net. Maroon, back of the cage, wrap around. It flips out in front. They score. Andre Palat. Palat just off the near post in overtime. And the Lightning with a 4-3 victory to tie this best-of-seven series at one game apiece.
Slightly more subdued than Dave Mishkin from the Tampa Bay Lightning call. Just slightly. It's Toucher and Rich. We have Hardy with us. We got Joe Murray with us. And, you know, talking about last night's game, just pure aggression. It seemed to be, as you were saying, Hardy, and as actually Phil Esposito very sleepily said, in complete contrast to how Mishkin was screaming, that you're right, during overtime, they just never seemed to leave that end. But, I mean, it was all Lightning there for a while. So this is kind of ridiculous. They threw 35 five-on-five shots on Halak, and that's like the third most five-on-five shots that the Bruins have allowed at any point this season. I mean, they were all over the place. It was one of those games where, this is where I think you and I disagree. Like, you could just see from pure aggression at the beginning of the game that this was going to be a long night. And I thought that when Marchand tied things up at the end of it, that was such a massive goal because it almost felt like you had cheated death. Because I would actually like to see time and zone. Like, that's one thing I would actually like to take a look at, because it sure as hell seemed fairly tilted for a lot of the game last night. But the good news is that despite Halak having his work cut out for him, he only played a couple minutes extra. I mean, only got to play like 4 minutes into overtime. It seems like he's going to be okay for tonight. He was asked about it, and here's what he had to say.
A shot from my left side, I kind of had my glove, didn't catch it, but guy just they just tried to wrap around, and I just tried to get there, and somehow he just made it to the other side, and it just found those plays. Like, it happens, I end up in an end. So we just, including myself, I just got to be better, and that's the bottom line.
Oh, thank you, Halak. Well, now we're looking at this back-to-back. And
the five-hole goal is all on Halak last night. I mean, that's one that he has to stop. That's the one. That's the one. It's not the overtime goal. They were swarming around like bees, and, they're going to score. Tampa Bay is a talented team, and when they control the puck that long in your zone, that, goals like that are going to happen. It was honestly their third goal in regulation that you just look at and you're like, okay, that's the one that can't happen. You can't have that one happen.
Well, Cassidy was asked whether he'd consider starting a backup goalie who has yet to play in the NHL. I can't believe we're having this conversation, but here we are. Dan Vlatter, and it's not the conversation about how to pronounce his name. I'm going to go with Vlatter because that's what Cassidy says, and you know what he says goes. But he was asked about whether or not you're going to see Halak in net tonight.
Well, if there's 80-some attempts, then obviously he's got to fight to see all 80 of them, so imagine there'll be some fatigue there. I didn't think it was a taxing night in terms of high-danger chances by any means. Obviously, the last goal got scrambled around the front of the net. There's a breakaway, but you know we were pretty good otherwise. We only took two penalties, I believe, so penalty kill was solid again. So we'll see how that is tomorrow. If you ask me who my starting goalie is tomorrow, Matt, I don't know yet. I'll let you know.
All right, spoiler alert, Halak's going to play. I mean, to be quite honest, I don't know how you could put in the playoffs unless it was one of those games like we saw earlier with the Lightning that went three overtimes. There's no excuse to not play Halak tonight, correct?
No excuse whatsoever. To Hardy's point, this goaltender has never played in his life. Like, the only thing I could say is this. Unless they feel like this guy can give them a chance to win, they'll play him. And my thing is, again, they played a four-minute overtime. Less than 5 minutes in overtime, Halak should be up and ready to go to play again tomorrow. So I wouldn't even play Vlatter. If they won, I'd consider it. Or if it went into maybe double overtime, triple overtime, I might think about it. But no, this is Halak or nothing.
I gotta think it's Halak. I don't think they're seriously considering going with Vlatter tonight. But even if they see something super special in practice, you know, something really, really good, or something really off in Halak in whatever, they're not going to have a morning skate, you know. I don't think they are. They're probably just going to, you know, see how everybody looks in warm-ups. And so unless they see something really special in this kid or Halak looks really off, I don't think there's any chance you see anyone other than Halak in that tonight.
Well, how many times, Hardy, have we heard them say about players, the moment wasn't too big for them because they've been here before and the experience matters. I mean, this is the ultimate. I just don't know how you can, in round two, throw in a guy who's never played in the NHL before. It just seems absurd. And if they lose, then you know what? Then you can kill the Bruins and you have every right to just destroy them because, you know, Halak didn't get taxed. He really didn't. I mean, it was just a good hockey game. I mean, they were aggressive, but as you know, you heard Cassie say there wasn't any saves that made you go, oh my God, I hope he's okay. It didn't seem to be that case last night. You got to play Halak. And the only reason I'm even humoring this is because he's being asked about it and he's not giving an answer. It just seems to me like it's a done deal. And if he's not there tonight, then you know what? Then I was completely wrong and I know nothing about hockey.
There are some saves that he makes though where it looks like he's doing way more work than he needs to. There was in the first period when he comes about 10 feet out of his crease and he dives on it belly first. He's spread eagled on the ice. And one of the Lightning players like brushed by his left leg pad on the way by, and immediately four Bruins swarm on him and just beat the bag out of him. How dare you brush up against my keeper when he's spread eagled on the ice 10 feet out of his crease? Well, I was just laughing at it. It's definitely a hockey thing when that takes place. But he's not Tuukka. He's not a position goaltender. You know, he is a guy that even though he wasn't tasked last night like Cassidy said, he does make more work for himself than we're accustomed to seeing in net for the Bruins these last few years because he's either out of position or he takes himself out of position to get on pucks or to poke check. And I think it does probably tax him more than it probably should.
You know who didn't look good last night? Well, actually, three people is that second line. It's the first game that they just... It was their worst effort so far of the postseason. DeBrusque, Kasha, Krejci, I mean, they just didn't look good at all. And
did you see DeBrusque like John with Hedman at some point last night? Yeah. Like, what are you doing, kid? Run away. You kidding?
You're not your father. Jake, you're not your father.
He called Maroon fat at some point. All right.
No, that was No. It was Connor Clifton. Well, so there's a video out there. Tweeted it out. You can go to at Toucher and Rich. And Connor Clifton was jawing at Pat Maroon and called him a fat F. And, like, did this thing with his stomach, like, woo, woo, you know, like the wobbly thing, like, woo, 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 to Pat Maroon. So, I mean, that stuff's great when you win. But looking back, maybe that was, I don't know, you poked the bolt or whatever they say.
Yeah. I want to see a few more pucks on net from the top two lines. At one point, the guy with the most shots, I believe after the first, I think it was Richie. I'm like, you know, Richie shouldn't be the guy with the most shots on net, you know, no. Especially the way he's been playing. And, you know, the Lightning were doing that. They were throwing a lot of pucks on Halak. I mean, you look at the shots, you know, period to period, and they were throwing it up there. It was like, let's see what happens, and let's see if we can get one of those rebounds. That's how they won it in the overtime, you know, just scooping up the loose change there on the side, you know, just off the side, and you know, good things can happen from that. I would like to see a little more of that from the Bruins, especially from the top two lines tonight.
Yeah, Carlo looked bad last night, too. I mean, that first goal that I'd played earlier from the Lightning, where he just... I mean, there was no excuse for him and Krug just to get split open by Zach Bogosian. He went right through them and then flipped it to Blake Coleman. That was inexcusable on their part. But Carlo did not look good at all last night.
Yeah, and it's frustrating because then you see Krug not long after that when Kucherov, he has, you know, what is almost a breakaway. He's got Krug one-on-one. It's like, oh, I do not like this matchup. Except that's when Krug is at his best, and it's almost like we did what he does at the blue line sometimes when he'll stand guys up who are much bigger than him. Saw him do it against Chicago many times with some of their big forwards, and he just played the body on him, and he just stood him up, and he took him right out of that play. And in a one-on-one situation, that's one that Torrey Krug, you would not get on him for necessarily losing that battle, but he won it last night, and that's why it's frustrating when someone is able to come in and split a couple of defenders like, you know, in the play you just mentioned, Rich, because you know Krug is better than that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, as we were saying, the Bruins get... What's that, Joe?
I was just going to say Carlo has been bad. He was good against Aho in that series. Bad last night, bad. Who was he passing the puck to on that play? Who was he? Like, I watched it five times. I still don't know who he was trying to pass the puck to. Maybe he's just getting it out of the zone there, but him and I'm going to get on Chara again. Like, he's standing around.
But you know what you're getting with Chara, though.
That's the thing. He's like, I mean, it's easy to say that, right? Oh, you know what you're getting with Chara. He's on the ice when they give up goals. And at some point, are they going to make a decision to split him and McAvoy up? Are they going to do it? Because at some point, they might have to. Because Carlo's slipping now. He's slipping. So, like, they got to do something there. Hey, listen, last night, Tampa Bay made a change. You know what I mean? They made a change. They got McDonough out of the lineup and somehow played better. I don't know how they did. One of their better defensemen. They're out of line. So, like, maybe the Bruins have to do something. But I will say this. I don't think you should panic. You have to tip your cap to Tampa Bay. Like, they needed the win. They wanted the win. And then they're now 4-0 in overtime. And I know Halak let a little softy go in at one point. Marchand made up for it. But, you know, I'm going to tip my cap to Tampa Bay and try to get them in game three at this point.
Well, as I was saying, the Bruins get a chance to right the ship pretty fast. Game three tonight, puck drop, 8 p.m., and obviously you can hear it right here with the non-screaming Judd Surratt on 98.5 Sports Hub. We'll also have Ty Anderson in the 7 o'clock hour and Billy Jaffe at 9 as well. The Celtics game tomorrow night might be in jeopardy. We will get to what the players and Brad Stevens said about that right after this.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilvereyFoundation.org for more information.
Toucher.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
This guy is a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. We got Hardy and Joe Murray here in studio. And with the Celtics starting their series against the Raptors tomorrow night, the status of game one might be in jeopardy. So in the aftermath of the shooting of Jacob Blake yesterday, Marcus Smart admitted that players have considered possibly boycotting upcoming games.
We tried to protest it. And for us, you know, we tried to come out here and, you know, get together and play this game and, you know, try to get our voice across, but it's not working. So, you know, obviously something has to be done. Right now, focus shouldn't really be on basketball. You know, I understand it's the playoffs and everything like that, but we still have a bigger issue, that underlying issue that's going on. And the things that we tried haven't been working. So, you know, we definitely need to take a different approach. We definitely need to try new things out to try to get this thing working the way that we know it should and get our voices heard even more.
And one of the ways that has been mentioned by several players is possibly not playing some upcoming games. Smart was not the only lone voice. Jaylen Brown also spoke at length about the shooting and as to whether or not the players were doing enough to inspire change. And on the other side of the court, the Raptors' Fred Van Fleet also alluded to the fact that the game may not go on.
We had a meeting this morning. A number of things are being discussed, so I'll keep that, you know, between our team. But, you know, we're dealing with it in real time, and I think it affects everybody differently. And, you know, it's pretty fresh on my mind, and I'm sitting in front of a camera, so I'm just speaking as I'm going. But, you know, yeah, there's a lot of different things being discussed. Coming down here, making a choice to play, you know, was supposed to not be in vain, but it's just starting to feel like everything we're doing is just going through the motions, and nothing's really changing. And here we are again with another, you know, unfortunate incident.
Yep, so he also added by saying, at some point, if we want change, we're going to have to put our nuts on the line and actually put something up to lose rather than just money or visibility. Brad Stevens, at media availability yesterday, was asked what he knew about the status of tomorrow night's game and whether any of the players had spoke to him about boycotting.
Are there guys that don't want to play?
Nobody's told me that.
So as far as Brad Stevens is concerned, the game is still going on. He has not heard anything directly from any of the players. But this is something that's being thrown around right now. So I don't know when we're going to find out how they're going to protest. And there's games tonight as well, and I don't know whether that's going to happen. But this is one of those things where you heard it all throughout the league yesterday. You know, they had hoped, I think, by coming down there that they could spread this message of, you know, nonviolence, and obviously with the things that have been going on with the police, and they feel that after the shooting that just happened, that maybe they need to do more and something drastic. So I don't know whether or not there's going to be a game. I don't know when you're going to find out there is going to be one, but as of right now, it is still scheduled for tomorrow night, which we'll see.
Yeah, and I don't know what they're going to end up doing. I think part of this, too, is based on the amount of coverage that this most recent incident has been getting is not to the level of others in the past. Maybe it has something to do with the convention going on. And like my news cycle is off too. It's like I get a lot of like news in the morning, and as I'm sitting here, it's like we're doing, you know, 99% sports stuff and other stuff. So I don't know how much it's been covered. It seems like the coverage on this has been lacking. And isn't that kind of the whole point?
Yeah.
You know, for the NBA players, they're like, this needs to be talked about and brought to the forefront. And I honestly don't know if boycotting the game and not playing the game is the best way for them to do it. It seems like there could be something that, you know, if both teams tomorrow night, you know, feel like they want to get the issue like out there and make it something more that's more talked about, there's a way they could do that. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's, you know, if it's allowing the, you know, the play clock to run out a certain amount and, you know, have them stand there and do something that is going to really get noticed, because by just not playing, I don't know if that gets the attention. And this isn't me being a selfish fan. It's like, I need to have round one of this, this playoff series. That's like, no, I don't get the what. What if they call it off? I would rather they play. I think sports fans would, but it's not. it's not like they're you know, boycotting something that we've all been looking forward to. No, but I got to believe that they're sitting around and they're talking amongst themselves. I hope they are, and coming up with a way that is going to be more effective than just not playing tomorrow night.
Well, as of right now, tip-off scheduled for tomorrow night, 6:30. And if it does go off its scheduled, obviously you can hear it right here on the Sports Hub. All right. No commercials, just Joe Murray with the headlines.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at TheBestFord.com.
Go to www.bestford.com/special event disclosures for full details.